Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
8:34 Central African Time, at the time of the morning, where we join our very own Member of Parliament, Ahmad Mandur Sheikh Imam. He's also the leader of the NFP. Ahmad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And how are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, nice day, cool day in the city of Durban. I can tell you that the beach is already quite crowded this morning, despite the bit of drizzle here and there, but I think it hasn't deterred the people. There's some celebrations going on the beach. Well, let's watch the latest. Star Meats, one of those well-known meat places that people used to frequent, but in Overport has shut its doors. I'm told that the owner was having death threats, but may he be successful somewhere else. We've had another kidnapping that has taken place. Kidnapping seems to be on the rise in this country. You can see the high levels of crime. Once again, I think we need to take necessary precautions, particularly if you're the vulnerable group, people in businesses and things of that nature. Well, yes, the issue of the downgrading of the South African embassy in Israel is gaining momentum. I am told by the Chief Whip that she's going to take it to the Pan-African Parliament. I've got some correspondence that's also going to be taken to the African Union for implementation as well. So I think there's a lot of pressure that's coming. But while that is going on, Israel is under tremendous pressure with hundreds of thousands of people protesting in Israel on the poor living conditions that they are going through. The country is deteriorating at a very rapid pace currently. The Nehau strike has, you know, quite a few casualties out of this, but it's getting a little bit out of hand. They're threatening medical staff, doctors and things that you know, when staff are protesting and striking, they should not and must not interfere with those that have decided to go to work. So, yes, it's the Palapala, of course, public protector, has cleared President Cyril Ramaphosa of any wrongdoing. There is no evidence according to her to link him to that. And of course, it will go on down to his managers and of course, police officers that she told me. There's a very unfortunate incident, though, in Germiston, I believe, that four electrical contractors were killed and they were mistaken for criminals stealing cable. In the meantime, they were contractors doing their work. Mm. Very unfortunate that it just shows how people take the laws into their own hands in South Africa. Well, some of the good things coming is that the president, addressing us last week, has admitted the living, working conditions of police officers and things must be addressed. And I'm glad that, you know, they are looking at it very seriously and go back to the previous policing units where officers used to work closer to their work environment. They had these police barracks and things, and so they were a lot safer, and then you could also rotate them. You know, they need to work in one police station for a long period of time where they become familiar and align themselves and collude with criminals and things of that nature. There is some, I must be honest with you, I'm not sure to what extent there's truth, but there is some serious allegations leveled against five, at least, of the ministers and deputy ministers that President Cyril Ramaphosa has now deployed into his cabinet, from Zizi Kodwa, Ramakgopa, the electricity minister, and Sindiswe Chikunga. One needs to look at this Chikunga. You see, South African, that name doesn't sound Zimbabwe in the way I see it, but also the deputy minister of public works in the presidency, Bernice. And also, of course, Pinky as well, Kikana, so, and Bernie Swat. So, yeah, there seems to be some kind of, you know, attack on the president in terms of the appointment of these people who have allegations, you know, of various types of corruption and whatever it is. But I guess with the limited people currently, that you have, that you can actually choose from, it puts you into a very difficult position because you have to pay back to those that are loyal to you and support you, and as a result, you have to compromise quality.
Yes, Ahmad, you talk about quality. I'm looking at a message from Ibrahim. He says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmad Mansoor Sheikh Imam. Congratulations on what you have done for Israel, for Palestine against Israel. Allah bless you now and forever. He goes on to say, what about these students, countrywide protest and asking for funds, and they are using the money more for their luxury and for the food and so forth. They are there for the fashion because they can't maintain the fashion and the fast life that they used to. These students are running a racket and they're getting away literally with murder in this country. Why is the government allowing these students to hold universities to ransom? Definitely they've made the University of Pretoria, the University of Witwatersrand, Stellenbosch, and the University of KwaZulu-Natal, Rhodes, and Saul Apaiki University a trouble and a ground for violence. Ahmed, how do you respond there?
I mean, Jazakallah, Brother Ibrahim, for that, for your compliments and your good wishes. I appreciate it. But very important point you're making. It's something that was raised last week. And you are correct. There is no control measures in place. There's no oversight on all the student financial aid that you're giving, whether it is being used for good purpose. And you are correct. They are using these things for all kinds of things, cell phones, airtime, doing the hair, doing the nails, partying. And that's what it is. And that's why you have 60% dropping out in the first year in any case. So that's the first problem. The second problem you got is as far as these accommodation places, which the deputy minister, responding to a question from me, admitted and agreed that there is a problem. There's also a collusion because there's also student bodies at this SRC that are threatening these accommodation places, the owners, and demanding from them a kickback from what they get out of providing accommodation. And if they fail and or refuse to give that, they are threatened with their buildings being emptied, if not burned. But the deputy minister has agreed that they have heard of. The other problem is the cap that they have, I think, you know, annually, for the accommodation, the prices actually, on the maximum they will pay for accommodation. But also there's another very important point that we're not taking note of. And that is that whilst you might say there's a cap of 4,500 or whatever it is, the fact is that these people, these accommodation places sometimes have 2, 3, 4, or 5. Now, can you imagine in one room, if you've got 5 students sleeping there and you're getting 5 times 4, you're getting 20,000 rand a month for one room. So I think to some extent there's also an exploitation by these accommodation place owners, but also with the student bodies that are running a racket, and they're colluding also with the institution. So there's a problem. But over and above that, the point that I think Brother Ibrahim is making is that these students, they want to protest. They're getting these monies. They're not using it for good purpose. They are failing, dropping out. They are partying. There is no control measures. What should happen is this. You are supposed to have produced some form of information, maybe on a biannually or whatever it is, or quarterly, on attendance, performance, matters of that nature. Because if you don't do that, you're leaving it for a whole year. Now, if you're spending 18 billion rand on first-year student alone, what does it tell you? You'll be losing something like at least about 10, 12 billion rand is going to go to waste. And not anybody and everybody should be funded because we want to give you education. You must have the ability to go to these tertiary institutions. You must also take skills that the country needs. And so what is the purpose of going out there and having hundreds of thousands of people qualifying on a particular area skill when we have no positions available for that? What does it tell you, Brother Shepherd? You are spending so much of money in this country on education now, from grade R. Then you finished your matric in grade 12. You're then paying for tertiary institution. So a whole, you know, 18 years or whatever it is you're spending. And all that happens after that, you lose the skill because you can't accommodate them in the country. You're losing them. So you are spending money for another country to benefit out of your. That is what it simply means. So should you not be concentrating on the skilled needs of this country? We have a massive shortage of some skills, and we have an abundance of others. So, you know, there's a need for realignment between tertiary institutions and the skills needs of our country. But when it comes to everybody, I mean, if you look at the number of them that have applied for teaching alone in this country, Bachelor of Education, where are you going to accommodate them? But let me tell you what is going to happen. The moment they get that brotherhood, they are all heading abroad to either to Saudi Arabia, Dubai, to the UK, to South Korea, to all these countries. But you spent your taxpayers' money for them to be educated, to go and take their skills and go there. But your country has got a massive shortage of skills. So now I cannot understand the reasoning behind this. So I agree with what the brother is saying. And I think you need to put more stringent measures of compliance when it comes to these students that are getting money. Now, they're also falling into a trap that they are being manipulated by political parties and things. And with all kinds of promises. But remember, these are students. And right now, when you give them transport, you give them food, you give them T-shirts, you give them airtimes and bus them around and partying with them and things, they love it. And so they're falling into that trap.
Yeah, Ahmed, looking at the message, Fahim says, well done, Ahmed. This week, everyone carried your name all over the world. That is a gift to you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Ahmed, I would like to know that sodium, according to the World Health Organization, is an essential nutrient which increases the risk of heart disease, stroke, and premature death when eaten in excess. But the same hypocritical World Health Organization allowed the COVID injections to be taken, and it allowed alcohol to be drunk by people, that is destroying families, that is destroying societies, nay, it's destroying mankind. But that is not addressed the main issues where these devils are doing this work. But a little thing like salt, which I smuck, I use a lot of salt and vinegar in my chips. How do you respond to Fahim?
Well, Brother Fahim, Jazakallah for that and Jazakallah for the government. Yes, indeed, I think you are correct. We have a problem in this country, and I think many countries, and it's time we followed the Cuban principles of prevention better than cure. What we are doing is anyone and everybody produces any kind of food products in this country, despite knowing the health hazards of a lot of the food products. Good example is if you take Coca-Cola, which has got 9 teaspoons of sugar in one can of Coke, and yet we are allowed to take it. Yet South Africa is fast becoming the diabetes capital of the world. So just like that, you know, salt is a serious problem. We know that. And of course, without salt, food is tasteless. We know that. You have to limit it. What are we doing as a government and the Department of Health in terms of education, you know, and or putting restrictions in food products when it comes to salt and sugar and things like that? Very little or nothing. It's a free-for-all in the country. Anybody opens any kind of food outlet anywhere. So it's a capitalist system of just making money. But what we are forgetting, the amount of man hours of how productivity is lost as a result of illnesses, how much of an impact it has on society when you are unwell. Okay, premature deaths because of your lifestyle and what you eat. They say you are what you eat. You know, we are forgetting about that. You're talking about alcohol. You look at the impact of alcohol on accidents, on gender-based violence, on crime as a whole. Look at what it does to families, how it destroys an entire family of alcohol. Yet, because of the revenue that comes, now government is not willing to do an exercise, despite raising this with them, on the benefits of alcohol in terms of revenue, okay, and the impact, the negative impact of alcohol on society, on the health sector, on productivity, and everything else that goes with it. If you do that exercise, you will find, as a nation, you will be better off with completely banning alcohol. Similar thing like that, when you talk about sugary products and things like that, you need to put measures as a government. If you say you are a caring government, which is what government says, of course you say one thing and you do something else, but if you are a caring government, will you give your child, your family member, or anybody you know, will you give them poison? If you know this thing is going to harm them, it's poisonous, they will die, right? Will you give it to them? No. then why are is government allowing its people with, you know, a free for all in the country, no oversight or restrictions and stringent conditions when it comes to food products and things like that? Why don't they create a better, healthier society? It will bring down your crime. It will bring down your accident. A large percentage of your accidents are caused to alcohol consumption. We know that. So why don't we look at something of that nature? And then your taverns, look at the number of murders you're getting, stabbings and things like that. Look at what happens in the home. People have got no money for food because of the dependence on alcohol abuse. Look at the gender-based violence, alcohol-related. And a lot of the crime that is committed, you would find in communities particularly, you would find is alcohol-related. A lot of great percentages outside taverns, late hours of the night, early hours of the morning. Why would you not take all that into consideration, put some restrictions in place? If I have it my way, Brother Shepherd, one day a week, like on the weekend, I will make sure everything is shut down. Everything so that families can spend time together. Something we used to do in the past, where you all come together, extended families, have a good meal. Today, it's a rat race. Mothers don't ever see their children. Fathers don't see the children. Mothers don't, husbands don't see their wives. Okay, your children go to school in the morning. You're going to work. When you get back, you are already tired. You've got to clean up. You've got to cook. You've got to go to sleep. What time have you got to spend? What time have you got to do the homework with your children? What time have you got to speak to them? How was their day at school? What happened? Did they go to school? Didn't go to school? What did they do from the time they came home? Nothing, absolutely nothing. We bring this upon ourselves. We need to change direction. We need to concentrate on a more healthy, safer, secure life so that you could be more productive. You can enjoy life to the extent that you create, build nice, solid family structures. Right now, we're destroying it all. We are.
Yes, Ahmad, I'm looking at a message from Imtiaz. It says, Assalamu alaikum. Great chat indeed with MP Ahmad Mansoor Sheikh Imam. I want to know from Ahmad why this big facade by the Westerners and America and its allies and NATO. I know that the euro was giving the dollar a kick, you know where, okay. But now, this is why America is destroyed Europe, and now he wants to destroy the UK and so forth, because the euro was gaining strength over the dollar. Don't get fooled by other stories. It was US wanted to destroy the Western nations because they were getting stronger than the dollar. Please, Ahmad, give us your views. How do you respond to Imtiaz, Ahmad?
Well, there's more trouble coming for the US dollar, and I think it's the right thing. Now that the BRICS nations and many others are coming together, they're already talking about having their own currency. I have long been pushing for Africa to have its own currency, but Africa lacks leadership, lacks vision. It won't happen in Africa anytime soon. Unless when, you know, maybe it would have happened sooner if Gaddafi, you know, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him the highest leader. Maybe if he was actually alive today, because that's what he was pushing for, and that's why they killed him too. But what is important to note, yes, indeed, the US dollar is under tremendous pressure, and the United States of America knows that is why they created this Ukraine-Russian war in any event. But it's going to backfire on them because despite sanctions that they put, Russia is still thriving. More importantly, they are talking about a new currency. They are buying and selling oil and other commodities and things in their own currencies. So there's going to be a lot of attack on that as well. There's no doubt about it. But the United States do not want competition. Whether it is the euro, no matter what it is, they don't want competition. They want to be dominated. The question we need to ask, what is their wealth? What is their currency backed by? Gold reserves. Who owns the gold? Africa and everybody else. Who is controlling it? The West. Who knows how much gold reserves they got, or they just printing dollars as and when they want? Do they really have that amount of value for them to print? You need to have that value in gold reserves to be able to print those dollars. Or are they just printing and controlling the entire world by printing and printing and printing of dollars? Who is actually investigating that and ever asking about? But more importantly, look at the wealth, our wealth, controlled by the United States of America and others. So yes, they will always have a serious concern about any other currency that will be a strong opposition to the US dollar. And I am saying, and I'm saying it again and again, that we need strong opposition to the United States, to the West particularly, and many of them, I'm talking about the UK, I'm talking about the United States of America, I'm talking about France and their attitude, and we have Germany, very importantly. What we need is a strong opposition if you want to create a more safer, a more secure, okay, world. If you want if you want economic activity to be boosted anywhere in the world, you need to have alternatives. You need to have competition. Right now, the United States dollar has been dominating for a long period of time. And but you know, brothers, that brings me back to something. We are our own greatest enemies. I remember when I was at SADC, and we were proposing that we use, they were doing their financial statements, report in three different currencies. Can you imagine? And so we said to them, why don't we use one currency? And some countries suggested we use the South African brand, right? Our head office, of course, of SADC is in Namibia. And I promise you, Zimbabwe was the first one to object. No, we'll use the US dollar. How you like that? So you can see why SADC and Africa is where it is. It won't change because of the selfishness and enrichment of leaders in the African continent who are not progressive by nature, don't care about the people on the ground. That is a problem we have. So Africa could be self-sufficient if they want to. They've got everything, most arable land, got all the minerals, got the skill, they got everything, but they got nothing in the end because it's somewhere else.
Yes, that indeed. The Imtiaz has another question. He says, don't be fooled by the Russians and the Indians and the Chinese and all these other superpowers. They are also mafias and they're also cartels. It will be the other side of the coin. Remember, America and Russia are the head and tails of the same coin. I don't know. I tend to disagree with him. But what's your thoughts, Ahmed?
There's always a danger that anybody that gets superpower status can become a threat. There's no doubt. The Chinese are infiltrating the whole of Africa and everywhere. And that's why there's problems between China and the United States of America. And there is no doubt that at some stage, if you give too much of power and control to any one nation in the world, you understand. And that is why it comes back to what I've always said, Brother Shepherd. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given every nation in the world something to survive on. Think about it, how unique the situation is. South Africa might have agricultural land, might have minerals, okay? Another country will have something else. Another country's got something unique and different. Everyone. The idea was to barter, to share between each other. If I've got land that I can grow agricultural products and give you, you can give me some marine life or whatever it is you will be able to, But what happened is this, we've taken everything we've got and put it under the control of somebody else because some selfish nation want everything for themselves. Now, coming back to the issue of Russia and China, yes, there is some risk involved there. There's no doubt about it if you look at some of the partners that they are going to actually have. But the bigger picture is that you need a strong opposition to the West, that is the United States and others. If you're not going to have that, they're going to continue dominating, dictating, causing mayhem, chaos, division, regime change. They're going to continue with this agenda. Look at the issue of Israel and Palestine. This matter would have been resolved a long time ago had it not been for the support that Israel enjoys from the United States of America, because they want their hands on the whole of Middle East because of its natural resources. That's what it is all about. So that is where we have a problem. And yes, with this BRICS nation, fortunately South Africa is also part of it and many others are now joining. But I think what is important to note, and also the string of Saudi Arabia and Iran, it's a good for me, I think it's a good sign that if they sit down and they find the common ground. But anyone, anywhere in the world, Ranju, who can gain that superpower status to the extent that they will dominate, can become a risk to the world. But I still think we are better off with Russia, China, and everybody else than you'll ever be with the United States of America. Right now, if you look at China's intervention in trying to solve the problem in Russia-Ukraine war, why is it the United States of America and others are opposing it? If you want to bring a peaceful solution to the problems that are taking place, why are you opposing it? They're opposing it because it does not suit their agenda.
You know, your good friend Farooq Sarkar is listening to you very intently, and he says, Brother Shafat, assalamu alaikum. Really, this man is one of the best in the world. He's referring to you. And he says, ask Ahmad, what about the dinar as a currency? And he says, Muslim countries must push for this. Get the dinar. Get the gold coin there. Hey, yeah, real gold in your hands. And he says that we keep on depending on Russia, China, or even, you know, I can add to that, America and this one and the West, and we go to the Arabs with the begging bowl. How do you respond to Farooq?
Jazakallah for those comments. I think the first thing is to get these Muslim countries to eat from the same plate. And now we are having great difficulty in getting them to do that, you know. And some of them, of course, for their own selfish agendas are also colluding with these oppressors all over the world. And that's what makes it difficult. I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed these Middle East and other countries with so much. And look at the trap that they're finding themselves and falling into right now. And which at some stage can become their downfall. And that's what it is all about. But I think it's an important point. They should be having a common a currency amongst them that they should be using. Okay, like I said, the African continent should have its own currency. And these are the things that we are not doing. So we are far behind when it comes to this. That's why we are allowing the US dollar and the euro and others to dominate. But like many, many other countries, that choose, some choose to work with the dollar, others choose to work with the euro and things. If the African continent can have their own currency, then they will, you know, countries in Africa will choose to use their currency, the African continent currency. Same thing if you talk about the Arab Middle Eastern countries, exactly the same thing. So I think it's an important point you're making. I think it's something that should be a priority. But like I said, getting them to even, you know, eat from the same plate is becoming a serious problem.
No, absolutely, Ahmed. And, you know, you get this conundrum coming through and people not making the choice. And I think you alluded to the fact that most leadership around the world are compromised. They are looking more about enriching themselves, the family members. And this has been happening throughout the, you know, throughout the years now. And when will this ever stop? I think it will stop when they stop printing this fictitious dollar or the fiat dollar, the paper money. And we all know it's a fact that they do not have the equivalent amount of gold in that dollar. It's just paper that's being flooded and the shaitani agenda being pushed forward, Ahmed.
Yes, a point you're making. But also I think we must look at the other side of the coin. Is there not a reason why some of these Arab countries or Muslim countries do not want to come in the forefront of, you know, giving support to other Muslim countries and things like Palestine for that matter? And is it not also fear, given the fact that you get the United States supporting Israel, bringing other countries, will, and then they will, you know, push for regime change in these countries. And you've seen that happen in media economy. You've seen what happened in Gaza and with Gaddafi. You've seen what happened with Iraq. You've seen them all over. So is that not also a level of fear amongst our people that if we go there, you know, in full force trying to support Palestine or support initiatives with high levels of morality and things, we will become victims like many other countries have in the hands of the United States and others. So I think there might be a level of fear, and I think we must be mindful of that as well. But I also think the important thing is this, that through the initiatives that is kicking off now, where there will be an alternative to the U.S. dollar. Remember, the U.S. is in serious trouble. They're in a lot of debt as well. The infrastructure is crumbling. They got serious problems in there. The U.K., the health sector is crumbling. It's collapsing. It's in a crisis. We know that. Israel is in serious trouble. You must ask why, if 300,000 to 400,000 Israelis are currently protesting. If you listen to them, it's such a sad story. They don't have food. They are dying of hunger. They say that they are, you know, worse than what they've ever been 10 years ago. That is how bad it is there. So, you know, just be consider what is happening to this clique, this camp that they created with the US, UK, Israel, and whatever it is. Don't you think there's a sign that these people are starting to bear the brunt, or that they are now being dealt with? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not asleep. Yeah, these people are now starting. You can see the problems they're having in their countries already. And it can only get worse right now. Now when you're creating another currency that many of these people will pull away from the U.S. dollar and things, it's going to aggravate the situation for the U.S. and many others. And so you've got opposition to the pound, you'll have the opposition to the U.S. dollar. You know, so I think it's a good thing, actually, that we're creating this thing. And Africa must do the same. And the Middle Eastern countries must do it likewise as well. I think that is the important thing to note. But I think it's a matter of time that if you saw, you know, the respect that, or the, well, I won't say the respect because I don't really have any respect for the United States. I must be very honest with you. But I think that it is out of fear that many people have this impression that the United States is untouchable and, you know, they are superheroes, only to bring Trump there and come and destroy their reputation over a very short piece of time. And now they're trying to do damage control, which will take a very, very, very long time. I can't see them getting back out of the damage that they have done already. So I think it's important that others, even those that have fear for the United States and things, it's an opportunity for them to think, well, what we thought of the U.S., they no longer that. And that if we all stand together and create a strong opposition, and all I'm saying is what we need is a balanced society, but balance where not one will have a dominate over the other, or be so strong that you can do as and what you please in the world. And that's what I think we need if we want a peaceful, safe, secure, progressive society.
Ahmad, absolutely brilliant. We've gone into Quran time now, but Allah bless you as usual. Very informative indeed. You have a mashallah beautiful day ahead. We'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.